Hello out there. Welcome to another episode of Let's Talk K-12 Education Show here on Realizing Your Potential TV Network every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm your host, Tanisha Langley, education enthusiast, thought leader, and founder of Enrichment Strategist Services, LLC, an education consulting business. You can connect with me by my link tree at Enrichment Strategist. There you can find how to connect with me through my various social media platforms, my website. I think I have some resources on the link tree. So if you want to connect with me a little bit deeper than just listening to the audio podcast, you can connect with me through my link tree. It's /enrichmentstrategist. I would love for you to go in and try to connect with me and follow me on some of my platforms. That would be great. I'm excited to partner with you, dedicated to the heart of our community, which is education. I don't care what anyone says, education is the greatest of all times, because it just produces all of these wonderful thought leaders and our doctors and lawyers and teachers and entrepreneurs and so many of these wonderful dynamic individuals came from education in some shape, form, or fashion. Some educator or educational entity played a big part in that. So that's what I'm here for. As the people say, I'm here for it today, okay? And every day that you come and join the podcast. I'm the host, but you and the community mean the most. I would love for you to share your suggestions of what you would love to get more information related to K-12 education. So if you're interested in connecting with me, with sharing your thoughts, ideas, and suggestions, or just to say, hey girl, hello, how you doing, education enthusiast, thought leaders? So happy you're providing information. If that's your thing, please email me at letstalkk12education@gmail.com. Again, email me at letstalkk12education@gmail.com to offer your K-12 suggestions, topics, ideas, or if you just want to drop by and say, hey, hello, appreciate you, and thank you for sharing your thought leadership around K-12 topics and trends. So, as a former educator and classroom teacher from a traditional public school setting, my goal is to use this platform as an unbiased show to educate and provide information as it pertains to educating our future. That's the goal of Let's Talk K-12 Education, to let others know that in the challenging educational landscape, there is a light that pierces the darkness, and there are educators working in the trenches, stakeholders, and educational thought leaders like myself, partnering to close the gap of the prison to prison pipeline with tenacity, grit, grind, while providing hope. Being a former middle school teacher and grandmother to 8 adorable, lovable, cute grandbabies, they're all 11 years old and under. So cute. But I recognize the importance of creating and establishing a positive, productive, sturdy foundation at home while bridging the gap for home to school connection for the school year. As a result, I started Brain Teasers to promote critical thinking skills, which provides information, tips, tools, and resources in an effort to promote educational equity for families. So let's open up the show in true educational style with How is Your Brain Game? Again, this is a segment to help cultivate critical thinking skills. Critical thinking skills is a very, very difficult skill to cultivate in learners. I don't care how fabulous you are as an instructional practitioner, it can be very difficult to help a learner to think critically. So this is my little contribution to help with that. Something quick, something swift, but it's called How is Your Brain Game segment to get your mindset shifts ready for the school day with homework, school tasks, with your children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, godchildren, and all of the adorable K-12 crew. So here's a joke. Why did the teacher bring a ladder to the incentive party? The answer is because it was the high point of the middle of the school year. That is a hint of our topic on today's show. That is one hint on today's topic. And so let's talk about, as we talk about that hint, let's dig a little deeper, get into our topic goal today. And that is to inspire educators to reflect on their achievements and challenges during the first half of the school year. Leverage some of their weekend breaks. They're coming back good off of the K-12 holiday break for strategic planning and self-care, and equip themselves with renewed energy and actionable strategies to foster student success and school community well-being in the second half of this academic year. So as we get into a little bit more, dig a little bit deeper into that topic throughout the show today, I want to get into some of the midpoint of the year myths and realities as it pertains to educators. And here's the first one. I want you to lean in and listen, okay? Myth number one, it's too late to make a difference this year. The reality is the midpoint of the year is a pivotal time opportunity to reset and refocus. Implementing small changes such as a new engagement strategies or differentiated instruction can have a significant impact on student outcomes. Mid-year reflections and adjustments often lead to renewed motivation and growth for both students and educators. Before I get into myth number two, regarding our topic up on the table today in our discussion, I have to give you an experience that I had, because I started my teaching career as a non-traditional. That means that when I started, I already, was married. I had three children. I was a caregiver, and I came into that classroom in my school building with a lot of lived experiences. Folks, listen to audience of Realizing Your Potential TV Network and Let's Talk K-12 Education Show. I will tell you, with my seasoned age, wisdom, and insights, my first year as a non-traditional probationary teacher, I didn't know if I was coming or going from August to leading up to the Christmas break from to December. And I can tell you, to expound on myth number one, I took some time during the break and I just unpacked as much as I could to say what was working well, where did I have some challenges, and what tools could I bring to the table to change that. And I can tell you this, when I came back from the K-12 holiday Christmas break and New Year break, I had a renewed focus. I felt better. As a teacher, I felt more confident in my instructional strategies. I felt more equipped to provide those desired learning outcomes for my students. It was just something about stopping for a moment to say, hey, the middle of the year is upon us, because it doesn't seem like it, but in the K-12 educational landscape, if you are a traditional classroom teacher, January denotes it is the middle of the school year. And that's kind of what we're going to be unpacking today. So I wanted to insert that in there in case you feel discouraged, in case you feel overwhelmed, in case you have started to pack up your room little by little with the thought process that maybe you won't return the next school year. I want you to lean in and listen. And I want you to listen with your whole head and open up your whole heart to our discussion today around this topic. And I wanted to share that with you. I had an amazing 10-year teaching career. It was beautiful. It was wonderful. And I didn't think I was going to make it coming back after Christmas break, but I did, after I reflected on some wins and some successes during the middle of the school year. So let's get to myth number two. Students are already set in their ways and won't improve. The reality is students are continuously evolving, just like you, just like my story that I just, my lived experience in my first year of teaching that I just shared. Introducing fresh approaches to teaching or focusing on individual strengths can reignite, that's what I was, reignited their interest and performance. Mid-year is an ideal time to re-engage students, set new goals, and celebrate even incremental progress to boost morale. That is what I did. Listen, audience, I had to boost my own self. And then when I think that that energy was radiating off of me, my students was like, okay, my teacher's hanging in there. So let's see if I can meet her along the way when it came to that mid-year. So here's another myth. Number three, mid-year data is just for administrators. The reality behind that is mid-year data is a valuable tool for educators to identify trends, strengths, and areas for growth. Using this information to adjust lesson plans, interventions, and supports can improve outcomes. Collaborating with administrators and peers on this data can lead to actionable solutions for classroom challenges. So before I get into myth number four, as it pertains to our topic on the table today, I want to say, do not feel like you're alone. Do not think that you're on an island in some deserted place and space. There are more people in the village, in your school building, or in the K-12 setting that may be in your district, or maybe even out of your district or state for all that is concerned. You have no idea, if you're an educator, how many people are cheering you on to be successful. There's no I in teamwork. There's my old cliche that I say just about every show. Drop your pride. And if it's something you know that you have a sincere purpose and passion to teach in that classroom, a set of learners, reach out to your support systems. Even if it means you don't have the best relationship with your peer, with your buddy peer that's supposed to be your mentor at the school, whether it's a school level, district level, because every system may utilize a mentor teacher differently. If you don't have the best relationship with them, then just kind of ask if someone can informally, you know, as someone that you can reach out to. So I know I took a little bit of time to develop that myth and the reality around that myth, but there are so many people that want to see you win. And there are so many people that want you to truly enjoy your heart's desire as you step into your buildings. We want you to step into power every single day that you're there. And when you don't feel invigorated, we want you to have the tools on your tool belt to say, especially during the middle of the year, this is a new perspective, new thought processes to make it until late May and June, right up until testing. So myth number four, if my classroom isn't perfect by now, I've failed. Whew. The reality is no classroom is ever perfect. And teaching is an ongoing learning process. Mid-year is the perfect time for self-assessment, professional development, and trying new strategies. Growth and adaptability are marks of a great educator, not perfection. Now, I'll do a shameless plug here. I have told you I'm an educational enthusiast. I'm a thought leader, but I'm also a founder and an education consultant and coach. It may not be in your budget, or so you think, but reach out to get professional, you know, one-on-one professional development help. I'm getting ready. I wrote up created a proposal for someone that reached out to me to provide one-on-one services. And you'd be surprised. You know, you never know unless you ask. So reach out to, if you want to go outside and get professional development, get some one-on-one, and you want to pay for it out of your, you know, as an investment for 3 to 6 months, by all means, you know, you may need to do that. Or it might be a way that your school may be able to provide the funding for that. I don't know. I haven't reached out to it because the person that's going to be investing in my program will be paying privately. But that's one angle to look at it, okay? Myth five, there's no time for self-care during the school year. The reality is educator well-being is critical to classroom success. Making time for self-care at the midpoint of the year can enhance energy, focus, and resilience. Simple practices like mindfulness, setting boundaries, or taking regular breaks can have a profound impact on your personal and professional life. By addressing these myths, educators can approach the second half of the year with clarity, renewed energy, and actionable strategies to foster success. Okay, so let's take a look at middle of the year, you know, what we're going to be discussing. So imagine a teacher reflecting on their first half of the school year, not just on student grades, but on their own teaching practices. Are they reaching all students? Are they fostering a love of learning? This is the essence of a mid-year educator checkpoint, a crucial moment for reflection, growth, and improvement. So on today's topic, today's K-12 show, we are diving into middle of the school year educator checkpoint. Again, today's topic is middle of the school year educator checkpoint. And where we're discussing the importance of mid-year checkpoints for educators, we'll explore how these check-ins can benefit both teachers and students and discuss best practices for making the most of this valuable time for reflection and growth. Okay? That is huge, huge, huge importance. So the importance of these mid-year checkpoints and the benefits is the ability to identify areas of strength and weaknesses. Mid-year checkpoints provide an opportunity for teachers to honestly assess their teaching practices, identify areas of strength, and areas where they can improve. I shared with you in full transparency, coming into the classroom as a non-traditional student, meaning I came with life experiences, wisdom, insight, knowledge, children, a husband, a caregiver. I was a caregiver. I had five or more years as a children's ministry teacher. It's so many things, and you just don't think that you can do it, but there's so many ways that you can improve and you can make it. And if you feel overwhelmed, that's okay. During the mid-year, I felt overwhelmed. And again, I had to have a conversation with myself to say, listen, this is what you fought hard to get to pass your praxis, to get your license and certification as a highly qualified educator. And this is your calling to be in this classroom, in this historically underserved community, in this Title I school, to make a difference in the lives of students, because your own personal children didn't get those opportunities. So I had to, yes, y'all, you heard it all the way from with my chest, that I had to have those very frank conversations middle of the year to get myself together. So teachers can gather feedback from students, colleagues, and administrators to gain a more holistic understanding of their impact. You can adjust your instruction based on this reflection and feedback. Teachers can make necessary adjustments to their instruction, ensuring that all students are on track to succeed. Before I get into how to boost morale and motivation in this middle of the year educator checkpoint, I want to insert when I utilize a survey for my students, and I taught, I've done all different grade levels. When you want to add my reading and math remediation experience, but from my middle school experience as a sixth grade ELA, social studies, and an AVID teacher, I will tell you this: probably about year two or three of my teaching, I would have students do a survey. They would fill out a form for me. And it was great to get the feedback from my administrators in my instructional strategies and pedagogy perspective. But at the end of the day, what really mattered were the learners and the students sitting in my class that needed what I had to give. So I gave those feedbacks. And I give you a very impactful example of what happened behind getting those surveys. I had a very, 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 very quiet, meek, timid student in my class. I don't think I heard her voice no more than when I called on her to answer a question, or when I would, you know, would go in one of the groups or one of the pairs or pods that she was working in to get her, you know, feedback on a lesson or a question that I asked or an activity. And on her survey, she brought about the fact, what she said was she wasn't very verbal, and sometimes it would be hard for her to want to communicate with me as her teacher. So the next year I set up a LMS, which was a learning management system, that my students could communicate with me. Those that were shy or quiet, they would be able to ask me their questions, show me their examples. And I made those adjustments in my instructional strategies and pedagogy the next year, purely based upon something as simple as one of my very quiet, nonverbal students suggested that that was an easier way for them to communicate with me their needs and for me to address them. So just kind of wanted to provide that, you know, never think that a small tweet doesn't make a difference. It can make a world of difference for you as an instructional practitioner and for the students to follow behind the revisions that you will make based upon student feedback. So boosting morale and motivation during the middle of the school year educator checkpoint, these check-ins can help boost teacher morale by acknowledging their accomplishments and providing support for ongoing professional growth. Benefits for students: improve student learning. Mid-year checkpoints can help teachers identify and address any learning gaps that students may be experiencing. Personalized learning. Checkpoints can inform personalized learning plans for individual students, ensuring that their unique needs are being met. I just gave you one classic example of a student who was very, 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 very timid and shy, and a lot of times had questions for me as it pertained to the instructional activities that I would give, and didn't feel very comfortable staying after class to ask me in person either because they were shy. But open it up to meeting their needs and providing a learning management system where they could, you know, email me was pivotal. And keep in mind, this was pre-pandemic. So blended learning, utilizing these LMSs, which are learning management systems for families and students to communicate, was not a going thing, was not your norm. So that was a innovative way several years ago, pre-pandemic, that I was able to make those adjustments to meet student needs, listening to feedback in the middle of the school year during my checkpoints. So increased student engagement. When teachers demonstrate a commitment to continuous improvement, it can inspire students and create a more positive and engaging learning environment. Best practices for mid-year checkpoints. Data-driven reflection. Teachers and educators out there want to encourage you to use data such as student assessment results, classroom observations, and student feedback to inform your reflection. Peer feedback and collaboration, facilitative peer observations and collaborative decisions among teachers to share best practices and provide support to one another. Professional development opportunities, utilize mid-year checkpoints as an opportunity to connect teachers with relevant professional development opportunities such as workshops, coaching, which I just mentioned, or mentoring. And the reason that I mentioned the coaching, even though I know in your districts they may have a platform that you can have access to tons of professional development workshops in your district, sometimes some people are very private and like to slow it down and want to make it more personalized to meet their needs. So that is why I mentioned coaching. I do one-on-one educational coaching. And definitely, if you know of anyone that, you know, would like to know more about those services and my plan that I have, you can also email me at letstalkk12education.com. And I can tell you more about that if you want to go out of the box instead of just utilizing the platform that has all of the workshops and professional development opportunities within your district. So focus on student growth. Shift the focus from simply evaluating student performance to understanding student growth and identifying areas for improvement. Create a supportive environment. Ensure that the mid-year checkpoint process is supportive and non-threatening, focusing on growth and improvement rather than criticism. I want to stop right here before we get to moving forward on these last minutes of the show as it pertains to middle of the school year educator checkpoint. And I want to do another CTA, which is a call to action. I would love to believe and say that all evaluators evaluating your instructional pedagogy are going to be nice, exhibit empathy, and talk to you in a very nurturing manner. That's not going to always be the case. But more times than not, I would like to say, and I think I can safely say, most people want to see you win. And if they're highlighting or providing you constructive criticism regarding something that they've seen in your teaching or your classroom management or your assessment data, benchmark data, 9-week data, anything that they're looking at, then what you would want to do, especially if they are veterans and they are evaluating others, don't feel offended, but jot it down. And if you don't particularly care for their tone and how they execute and deliver the message to you to try to help you, then take the information and go to someone that you feel more comfortable with. Okay. So, you know, still do be in compliance, but don't feel offended and just shut all the way down. There's tons and tons and tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of people in your village, directly and indirectly, like myself, that want to see you win, because there are not many people that get into education for the right reasons. And there's a few that get into it, not because of the summer vacations, not because of the holidays off. They truly get in it for impact and transformations. And people, my dear educators, want to see you win. So just giving you this information for the middle of the school year, educator checkpoint. You know, we're in February at this point in time. High stakes testing is right around the corner for most people. And you want to go ahead and put the horse before the cart and make those adjustments in the areas. Celebrate the wins where you're doing a swell job, but the areas that you have gaps or need improvement, look at it as a learning opportunity and also look at it as this is foundational. This is where I was this year. Now I know what to do if you come back to the classroom the next year. So moving forward. The mid-year checkpoints should not be a one-time event. Continuous reflection and improvement should be an ongoing part of every educator's professional journey. So the role of leadership, discuss the role of leadership in supporting teachers through the mid-year checkpoint process, providing guidance, resources, and ongoing support. You are also responsible with creating a culture of continuous improvement, meaning that improvement within the school can benefit all stakeholders, including teachers, students, and the school community as a whole. So I want to reiterate these key takeaways and the importance of mid-year checkpoints for both teacher growth and student success. Here's another CTA, a call to action. I want to encourage you all, the listening community, the educators in the listening community, the families supporting the educators in the listening community, to consider how you can implement mid-year checkpoints in your own classroom or schools. And I want to end with a positive, forward-looking message. By embracing the power of reflection and continuous improvement, educators can create a more engaging and effective learning experience for all students. Want to give you a few self-help tools before we get ready to close out today's show as it pertains to middle of the school year educator checkpoint. Here's a few self-help tools. Again, disclaimer, I'm just sharing information. It's up to you to do your own research to make sure that you're in compliance and that it's in alignment with your mid-year checkpoint goals. But here are some self-help tools and resources that you can do. Reflection journals. What's the purpose? To regularly journaling about teaching experiences, challenges, and successes can provide valuable insights and identify areas for growth. What are some tools? Simple notebooks, digital journals, or dedicated journaling apps. Teacher portfolios. Why is this important? The purpose is to collect and organize evidence of teaching effectiveness, such as student works, samples, lesson plans, and reflective notes. What are some tools that you can use with that? Digital portfolios, example, Google Drive, TeacherPay Teachers, physical portfolios, or online platforms specifically designed for teacher portfolios. Peer observation and feedback. What's the purpose? Gain valuable insights from colleagues through classroom observations and constructive feedback. What are some tools? Observation checklists, peer feedback forms, and collaborative discussion forums. Professional development platforms. The purpose? To access online courses, webinars, and articles on topics related to teaching and learning. What's a great tool? One of the tools that I look for and use is EdWeek. All you got to do is go into your search engine and type in EdWeek. Another one is Association for Supervision and Curriculum Development, ASCD. Type it in and you can get some resources there. Another one, ISTE, International Society for Technology and Education. What's another one? Mindfulness and Self-Care Resources. Why is this important? To prioritize self-care to prevent burnout and maintain well-being. Some tools, meditation apps called Headspace, Calm, Insight Timer, mindfulness exercises. I've used those. Guided meditations. I've used those too. Deep breathing exercises, yoga, stress reducing activities like exercise, spending time in nature, engaging in hobbies. Here's another thing, teacher support networks. Why is it important to connect with other educators? Again, you can go outside of your school building, educators, to connect with other educators for support, collaboration, and shared learning experiences. If you're not interested in doing a lot of traveling face-to-face, here's some online communities, teacher forums, social media groups, professional organizations. Join local or national education associations. Look up mentorship programs. Connect with experienced educators for guidance and support. By utilizing these self-help tools and resources, educators can effectively conduct their own mid-year checkpoints, identify areas for growth, and continuously improve their teaching practices. Again, I've got to put this disclaimer out there. This information is for general guidance and informational purposes only. I have some lived experiences and area of expertise, but I just do the call to action for you to also take the information and do your research and make sure that it benefits you in the ways in which you are looking for. So here's three powerful key takeaways regarding the middle of the school year educator checkpoints. So mid-year checkpoints are not just about performance reviews. They are a valuable opportunity for professional growth, reflection, and collaboration. Student voice matters, involving students in the reflection process through surveys, interviews, or focus group, provides invaluable insights into their learning experiences and can inform instructional adjustments. And I shared my own personal example. Creating a culture of continuous improvement is essential. Mid-year checkpoints should be an ongoing part of the school culture, fostering a supportive and collaborative environment where educators can learn, grow, and thrive. These key takeaways emphasize the importance of viewing mid-year checkpoints as a positive and constructive experience for educators focusing on growth, collaboration, and student-centered learning. So we're at the end of another show. This hope you had an amazing time with middle of the school year educator checkpoint, that you leaned in, listened, took notes, jotted things down, passed this podcast on to maybe a teacher in your family. So I want to thank you for joining us on Let's Talk K-12 Education here on the Realizing Your Potential TV network. We are grateful for your time, insights, and dedication to exploring what truly makes a difference in the lives of our students, educators, and communities. Your commitment to understanding and advancing K-12 education is what drives meaningful change. Together, we're shaping the future of education, one conversation, one episode at a time. wishing you continued success and inspiration as you help unlock the potential in every learner. This is Tanisha Langley, your educational enthusiast, thought leader, and show host for Let's Talk K-12 Education here on Realizing Your Potential TV Network, where you can find us here every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we are empowered through education. Until our next episode, same space, same place. Hope that you have a wonderful one. Bye.